Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host.
It's Mr. Ben Harrington with an E. Somebody called me and a B. Somebody called me Ben Harrington earlier.
That sounds nice. It sounds upmarket. Ben.
Someone called me Ben Harrington, and before I had the chance to like correct them,
they went on saying
it was a story. They went on saying, yeah, Harrington, that's the character from Stranger Things, isn't it? Yeah, so I was talking for ages and ages and ages before I could finally say,
but my name's not Harrington,
my name's Harrington. And they were like, what?
As if you like, let me go on for that
you
long.
You let me go on.
Like
you
a buffoon.
Like that. They did say that. They said, you let me go on like that. I said, well, it's pretty difficult to stop you when you're going on like that because you're always flapping your gums.
Who is this, by the way? Is it a mirror?
Just a colleague. It was a bloody mirror again, wasn't it? I just went.
Going like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You twat. And then I got into a fight with it.
Yeah.
Awkward.
Awkward, yeah. We were just talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, just before we start recording, just before we get the mic going. Because, mate, it's one of the best like film experiences I've had in ages. It was just so refreshing. I absolutely, absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. Like, I mean, I've always been pretty much solidly in the Tarantino fan club where, like, every film he brings out, I'm always a huge fan of. But this, I had a better experience with this than I have with any of his films, possibly since Kill Bill Volume 1. Because I always enjoy his films, but this kind of took it to a next level for me where I was like, I've got to watch that again.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be quoting this.
I think it hit at the right time because kind of, you know, a bit fatigued with some big franchise stuff. And this is kind of very mellow and very sweet throughout the film.
It's got an amazing script. Like the soundtrack's great.
Quotable.
Setting is just like perfect. It makes me feel like I wanted to be there, you know, like in Hollywood in the late 60s, experiencing all of this. And I like the way Quentin Tarantino like takes real world events, puts his characters into them, and kind of just sees what happens. Well, I know obviously he writes what happens, but it just feels like he kind of just sees what happens. And I know we've both agreed that like the final 20-25 minutes is like cinematic gold. I was like grinning the whole way through.
So the ride of the film seems to be the first hour. You're kind of settling into the world, which I was a bit like, I don't know if I'm quite understand what's going on here. But it takes about an hour to settle in. You start to relive the characters. Rick Dalton, as what's his name, is his own little personal journey there. And then Cliff Booth has like a really weird, funny aside story, which some people have got some problems with, but that's fine. Then it gets super tense. About an hour in, there's a bit where he goes to the Manson...
The Manson Farm. Family, like, lodge. Is it lodge? No, sort of like, it's on a lot. Yeah. It's on, like, an old western lot.
From that point on, I just found it insanely tense. I just almost couldn't handle how tense it was.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, no spoilers, obviously, but it's kind of painted, I think, from trailers and from the rating of the film and from when the film starts, you expect there to be possibly blood and guts and gore and and you know, it's minimal, really. But well, when you get it,
when you get it, there's like there's a fine window of it, and when it hits, it's glorious. Yeah. There's a guy behind me like applauding, like clapping and like laughing along. Like really fucking
it was extremely satisfying. And I think Brad Pitt playing like an everyman, like have we ever really seen him do that? He always does like the cool leading man, or like he was a bit of like an underdog and, you know, a bit down and out. And to see him play like an everyman like that, I think just gave that character even more than what we already had, which was he was a genuinely like awesome dude. But there's also a great dog character as well.
Yeah. So there's a lot of times where it feels, cause it's quite a long film, I think it's like 2.5 hours maybe or something. But there's quite a lot of downtime with the characters. There's one bit where Brad Pitt's on the roof fixing an aerial. There's another bit where he's feeding his dog. There's lots of little like side bits, and I quite enjoyed just every single bit of them.
Lots of really quiet character moments, which I think helped build like the characters around it. I think Margot Robbie, I don't think we get much. I mean, she gets a few sort of moments to shine, but we don't get that much from her, do we?
I don't think she's really a proper character in the sense that the two mains are. I think she's kind of like they're built because we know sort of the future of that real person. I think it's kind of just setting up that stage and expectations there to, and it gives us a bit of a human character when she goes to watch her own film at the cinema, a bit of a human moment. Yeah, it's just a fantastic film.
So yeah, good. And I think like obviously not many filmmakers would really get given that amount of time to tell that sort of story, I guess. So I guess we're lucky to have, you know, someone like Tarantino who can do that with this sort of film and the cast and everything. So it was awesome. Yeah, I mean, even going into it, like I knew I wanted to see it, and I knew that I was, you know, I knew I personally thought it was going to be great. But I don't think I quite thought it was going to be, I was going to enjoy it as much as I did.
Yeah.
You know, I've been telling so many people about it. Like, no one seems to have seen it. Like, so many people, I'm saying, have you seen it? Not a lot of people have seen it. So,
well, when you look at his previous films, Hateful Eight, Kill Bill, Django Unchained, there's kind of there's a genre catchiness to them where it's like, ooh, violent and there's going to be gun fighting and stuff. But this doesn't look like, I think this film would pair very nicely with Nice Guys. It's sort of set. It's two guys set in that sort of LA world, and they're just their relationship, just really sweet. What do you say? Stronger relationship than a brother, but less than a wife, or something like that. And it kind of fits their relationship really well. Yeah, it's
I loved all the little nuances, like film posters and you know TV commercials, and just all the little bits and bobs we got. Yeah, it was great. So yeah, even if you're not a fan of Tarantino, I think. Because it's got the Tarantino flavor, but it's not as like out and out definitive Tarantino that you would expect. It's kind of like
it's more soft. It's like warmer, I guess.
I think he might be getting better as a filmmaker, you know, because I think it's because the fact that a film like this can have next to no Tarantino-isms in it and still be as great as it is, I think that just shows that his ability. With the crowd, I mean, obviously he's always been great, but the fact that this isn't like, as you said, it hasn't got a specific sort of gimmick to it. You know, it's not it's not a Western, a violent Western. It's not a like kung fu film, essentially, or something like that.
Thing or something.
Exactly, it's nothing like that. It's kind of just, if you try to explain the plot, I mean, it's not so much about plot. It's more about setting and the characters rather than the storyline, because I guess there isn't much of a storyline. I mean, there is, but there's not like...
Yeah, I think both characters sort of get these little arcs, and then there's the rising tension in what we know what happened in the real world around it, and they just sort of find themselves... We love these characters, and we find them trapped in this horror, this real-world horror, but it's a beautiful ending. Like it's magical, yeah.
Yeah, as I said, I was grinning. Throughout the whole thing. So, like, you know, when you're kind of like looking around, just like looking at everybody's reaction.
Yeah.
Just taking that all in as well. I think that's great. That's a great reason to see this film in the cinema. Yeah. And I think it's a great reason to see any film in the cinema is when you kind of experience it with a load of punters. Sometimes some right twats, but most of the time it's all right.
So there's people not happy about the Bruce Lee thing. I'm a big Bruce Lee fan, but I am aware that this isn't really Bruce Lee. It's just a caricature of him.
Yeah.
It's not.
I felt like that. I felt like it was a caricature of him, but I also felt like maybe it was kind of Cliff Booth thinking about it.
Yes,
and even though he was recalling something that had happened, it felt like it, because it was through his eyes. It felt like maybe he was making more of it than it was in his head.
So
you know, the fact that people are kicking off about it saying Bruce Lee wasn't like that, it's like,
we know it's a fiction. No one's going to be convinced of that. What he was actually like. Yeah,
it's a fictional film. It's got comedic elements in it, and it's taking place in a sequence of somebody thinking about it.
Yeah.
So put all those things into the mixer, and surely you can't get pissed off or offended by it.
No. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely go watch it. I might even go again. I'll put one of those unlimited cards now, so I can sort of go. You got one, right? No.
No. I just go to View because it's quite cheap.
Oh yeah.
Like five. Yeah. So there we go. That's kind of like that's. I guess that's most of the stuff in the guff.
Yeah, I don't think I watched much else. I watched A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. Did you see that one?
Oh yeah. I haven't actually seen it, but I saw you talk about it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think it's quite low budget. I think it's Iranian black and white vampire film filmed in America somewhere. Or I don't know the full details, and I'm going to offend someone here. But it's a quirky.
You're offending me, mate.
It's one of those ones where it's a very small story. It's about a guy who's got some problems with a local drug dealer, and then introduced into this mix this woman / vampire with a skateboard, and then he and she kind of like each other, but it's a weird relationship drama thing. It's very quite slow. The music is great. The tone is great. But I kind of feel like it didn't really go anywhere that unique. Like, you pretty much know exactly what you're getting out of it when you go into it. Like, this doesn't really take you to sort of any amazing, interesting places. But it's good. I think it shows a lot of promise for that sort of filmmaker. Anna Lily Armipour, I think her name is. But it's definitely worth it. I think her aesthetic design, her aesthetic choices are very, very good. I just wish there was more to the story. Yeah, other than that, no. Nothing. Nada.
The only other things I watched this week were, I rounded off the Blade trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Blade 2 and Blade Trinity. Blade 2, I think, is the best of the trilogy. Obviously, it does feel very Del Toro. It almost feels like a warm-up for Hellboy films. In the fact that it's got Ron Perlman in it, it's got Luke Goss as the villain. Obviously, he turns up in the Golden Army as the villain. It just feels very Del Toro. There's a lot of the same, similar sort of visuals, gothic visuals. It's 2002 and it feels very 90s still. But not quite as 90s as Blade Trinity, which I think I've seen once before, but it is a it's a shit show. It's just an absolute shit show, it's for so many reasons. Number one, apparently, obviously, we talked about the Wesley Snipes taking himself seriously on set, only referred to as Blade, wouldn't open his eyes, so his eyes had to be CGI'd onto his head. I couldn't get out of my head when I was watching it. I was just like, and the film, like, it takes itself incredibly seriously. There's Dracula, back from the dead, and they call him Drake. it's got some really weird roles in it, like Triple H, the WWE wrestler, isn't it? Natasha Lyonne, so from Russian Doll, is in it as like a blind woman. And there's one of the most ridiculous moments, I think, in film ever, that I always roll my eyes so I literally roll my eyes like that all the way back into my head, is when somebody watches a video and it goes, "If you're watching this, I'm already dead."
Is that Whistler?
No, it's Natasha Lyonne's character. So she's like a blind woman, and she sort of develops some sort of cure for something. Patton Oswalt is in it as well.
That's weird, because I kind of feel like Patton Oswalt I only sort of took notice of him in the past 5 years, and he just seems to be everywhere already.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is cool. It basically, and also, wait, one thing I haven't even mentioned is that Ryan Reynolds is in this as a guy called
Harry Kane.
Hannibal something.
Hannibal Kane. Hannibal
it
Kane,
is yeah. like Hannibal Kane. Hannibal Kane? Is yeah, that right?
I think so.
Basically, it Hannibal King, sorry, yeah. Hannibal so basically, King. this is like a dry run for Deadpool in the worst possible way. Yeah. Everything that comes out of his mouth is like a dick joke or some sort of like joke. Yeah. But none of it's funny. Like, all of it falls flat. Yeah. He's supposed to be like one of the heroes, but he comes across as such a douchebag that I just think, just like, oh, for God's sake, just kill him.
Oh, yeah.
Just kill him.
But that sounds just like kill that him. Sounds like Deadpool as well. Like, he's supposed to be annoying. I remember because yeah. I was a Deadpool reader, and I remember going to the cinema to watch this, and I remember thinking, Ryan Reynolds is playing Deadpool. This is
yeah.
And then I remember thinking Ryan Reynolds would be an amazing Deadpool, and then what, 10, 15 years later, he finally played Deadpool, and it just made sense.
It's like his whole career up to Deadpool has been an audition for Deadpool, even to the point where he was in X-Men Origins Wolverine, and he's playing Deadpool, but not really, so he's just auditioning to play the real Deadpool.
Isn't that cool that we actually finally got a Deadpool film, though? I mean...
Oh, yeah, I'm not taking... I mean, I like the Deadpool films, and I think Ryan Reynolds is the perfect Deadpool, but in this film, Blade Trinity, he is... Just,
I've not seen it for so long time.
He is just like, oh man. I was trying to think of something else. Also,
so what you're saying, spoilers you didn't like
for
it, right?
Blade Trinity. I didn't like it. Yeah. Spoilers for Blade Trinity is that Whistler does die at some point. I can't even remember when. I was watching it and then I was like, they're talking about Whistler being dead, and I was like, when the
die off camera, die off screen.
I honestly can't remember. And I didn't want to rewind to find out, but he dies somehow.
How does he come back in Blade 2?
There we go. In Blade 2, he comes back because they basically say he didn't shoot himself in Blade 1. He fully turned into a vampire, but then the vampires like kidnapped him and were like torturing him and keeping him alive, obviously because of all he's done against vampire kind. Blade's been tracking him sort of like across the world, and he finds him and turns him back. Also, that's another thing. In this universe, it seems really easy to turn people back. So you're a vampire, but it's like, oh, we've got a thing that just turns them back to human.
If that's the case, then killing a vampire is surely just as bad as killing a sick human being.
A person.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There we go. Because apparently Hannibal King used to be...
Oh, right, yeah.
Hannibal King used to be a vampire. And they go, oh, he's not a vampire anymore. And I just... Anyway, so that was that.
Okay. I'm not going to watch it.
I've got a couple of bits of news. Let's just smash through this. So we got a trailer for a new underwater thriller / horror with Kristen Stewart with a M&M haircut called Underwater. I think you saw 10 seconds of the trailer. Is that right?
I watched 10 seconds and I was like, I'm in.
Yep.
I don't need to say anymore.
It was the first. Do you know what, how do you feel about this in modern trailers when it shows you like a really quick cut of like things from the trailer before the trailer?
It's like a trailer for the trailer.
So it goes like, underwater, trailer. A trailer for the trailer, but immediately before the trailer. So you watch a trailer for the trailer, and then you watch the actual trailer.
Yeah.
And it's literally to grab people's attention before. So this looks kind of cool. I won't spoil much of what's in the trailer, but it kind of looks, people are saying it's like Aliens meets the Abyss. Possibly some sort of creature, some sort of threat. People get stuck in a underwater facility like 7 miles down. And I think, underwater stuff is pretty terrifying, right? I've always been a bit very claustrophobic. Yeah. It's basically a space film, but not in space, right? Underwater.
Someone said
stuff.
It was like Alien Underwater, and I was like, oh, like The Abyss. And he went, no, it's like The Abyss. Alien.
And he went, oh, it's like The Abyss Underwater. The Abyss is underwater.
Yeah.
Oh, it's old brand new, isn't it?
It looked a bit, it gave me some, there's that game Soma. It gave me some Soma vibes. And
that, yeah, I've still not well actually played that. Even though you recommended
it. Yeah.
Neil Blomkamp has officially said goodbye to RoboCop. He's not making the RoboCop sequel or remake or what is it? Is it supposed to be a sequel?
Yeah, RoboCop Returns. It's meant to be a sequel to the original. Like, they do, you know, the Halloween thing. That's the trend right now
to make
a sequel to the original.
So apparently he is shooting a new horror thriller as MGM can't wait / need to shoot RoboCop now. So they're obviously going, we need to shoot RoboCop now.
I need my RoboCop. Yeah.
So he's, you know, to have a big name director like him directing RoboCop might have made people more interested. Because I think if you just said to me a new RoboCop film, I'd probably be like, eh. And if you go a Neil Blomkamp RoboCop film, I'd probably say, ah.
Yeah. So who's the guy who did Blade Runner, whatever it's called, 2049? Is that right?
Oh, the guy who's doing Dune.
I think I would like
Dennis
to have seen...
Villeneuve? Is that how you say his name?
Villeneuve, yeah. I would like to see his version of it.
Villeneuve. Yeah, that'd be good. And then one more thing, following on from our discussion of The Hunt being cancelled. So Jason Blum and... is that how you say his name? Jason Blum? And Craig Zobel, who's the director, they've responded to the cancellation. They've said their ambition was to poke at both sides. Both political sides, I guess. And they've said, we've stand by our filmmakers and will continue to distribute films in partnership with bold and visionary creators like those associated with a satirical social thriller, but we understand now is not the right time to release this film.
It's very political.
So, yeah. So apparently Blum has said he's learned a lot of lessons. I was offered the choice to make the movie again. I would say yes. We definitely made marketing mistakes and we made plenty of mistakes along the way. So, but I guess it's one of these films where, like, the fact that it's controversial is surely going to drive more footfall towards it, right? Doesn't that?
I guess you don't want to poke the bear. I mean, you don't want to get cancelled, like proper cancelled.
Yeah, I guess so. But still, there we go. And that's that, Luke.
Okay, so today we're talking about a film that I was never that really... interesting. I mean, I think I saw it when I was quite young. I thought it was quite good, but I don't remember. It's not really got the same. It's not like a big cult. You know, I don't hear people talking about Jeepers Creepers really at all.
I think it was very popular when it was released, and for a few years afterwards, I remember as well. Even like by the time the sequel came out, I think people were still very much invested in the whole Jeepers Creepers thing. But yeah, after that, it kind of did just fizzle out. And I know there was a third one released a couple of years ago, but I mean, I had absolutely no interest in watching that. And this is a thing, obviously, that it's strange that it's not in, I mean, it might be, it might just be me being ignorant. I don't know how you feel, but it's strange that obviously there's controversy surrounding the director isn't more prevalent because it was something where I was like, oh, I thought that this director directed the third film. And that was why it was getting boycotted. So I thought, oh, yeah, I probably won't watch that then. But he directed the first and the second.
Done all three, I think, hasn't he?
Yeah, as well.
It's weird that they would even think that he, in today's climate, that he could get away with putting a film out and it not being boycotted.
It's very strange. It's very strange even back in, like, 2001, you know? I mean, years after he'd... So, I mean, he went to prison for sex abuse of, like, a 12-year-old.
In one
of his films,
late 80s.
So I don't know how you feel about that. Very strange that somebody can come out of prison whatever way he's rehabilitated or not and still have a mainstream Hollywood career even in 2001. That seems very strange. That seems really strange.
Yeah, it is weird. I guess I don't know, maybe people just weren't talking about directors back then in the creatives back then like they were that they do now. I mean,
I'm sure we haven't mentioned it before on this podcast, forgive me if I'm wrong, but someone like Gary Glitter, which happened in the early 2000s when it came out that he was nonsense. whatever he was doing. Yeah. I mean, that was it. Completely finished. Done. Nobody wants, that's it. Your whole career, your whole legacy, all your music, nobody wants anything to do with that ever, ever, ever. But with this, it's almost like, oh, is he directing a film? Is the studio just gone? He's cheap. Has the studio gone? He's all right, but, you know, it's weird.
It's weird. I don't know if he's like self-financing a lot of it or something, it's weird. I mean, how do you feel about watching it now, knowing that he's not just like... allegedly, like he's convicted, like he served time for this.
It's strange because this one and the second film, like as I said, I was always quite into and enjoyed and stuff, and I but didn't know anything about that. You know, 15-year-old me was lapping this up. I wasn't like, what about the director? Has he received any any untoward yeah. charges that I need to know about? I know it. So I can still appreciate the films for what they are, I guess, but it does feel slightly strange. Yeah. I think, like, if I knew that and I was watching a film I'd never seen before, perhaps I would feel a bit more strange about that. The fact that it's two films that I've seen, you know, nearly 20 years ago, and now I'm looking back on them, I can only really put myself back into how I felt when I originally saw those films and then judge them on this thing. Obviously, sometimes there's still a bit of a few lines or something a bit weird where you're a bit like, oh, he's a pedo, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? But your head goes back to that, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got to sort of bear in mind it depends how much you subscribe to Auteur Theory, but you know, there's hundreds of people work on this film, on these films, not just the director. So I guess I can kind of reconcile with myself from watching this by thinking, what about all those people who put hundreds of hours into this thing? They've done nothing wrong. Well, I don't think so.
Yeah. So I guess on this, we're judging this film as we would judge any other film.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same. I mean, it's not the first. I mean, I guess he's convicted, so it's different. I was going to say Roman Polanski, but I don't think Roman was actually ever properly convicted.
There were a lot of allegations, weren't there, with Roman Polanski, and didn't he like leave the country to like avoid some of them as well?
Yeah.
Some of the allegations. People always do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But okay. Well, I mean, I don't think we're gonna get around it. I mean, the director is a piece of shit. But let's judge the work. Try and keep it sort of separate from the art separate from the artist, I guess, in this instance.
We'll try our best to do that.
By the way, what have you got any info on the film? I don't think we've talked about it.
Yeah. So wait there. The Jeepers Creepers is a 2001 American-German horror film written and directed by Victor Salva. The film takes its name from the 1938 song Jeepers Creepers, which is featured in the film. Francis Ford Coppola, Coppola Feel. Steady now. We gotta be careful with it.
I know, yeah.
It's not. No, we haven't. A brother and sister driving home through isolated countryside for spring break. A flesh-eating creature, which in the midst of its ritualistic eating spree. That's a spoiler. That's on IMDb. And that is a spoiler. If you watch this film and you've never seen it before, you know, that's a spoiler, Luke.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's weird. So, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes, critic score is 46%. User score is 48%. So everyone sort of agrees that it's very okay. 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb. Anthony Doyle on the Facebook group says, this was one of the first horror films I was interested in based on a trailer. So you must have watched it when I was a bit younger. It wasn't great, but it's okay. I remember thinking that I didn't think it was as clever as maybe it thought it was. I think he's right. I think they thought, let's make a villain creature thing that is everything. He's a stalker. He's a slasher. He's a demon. He's got wings. He's a vampire. He's got everything.
It strikes me as, you know, they definitely wanted this to be the next big horror franchise because...
Yeah,
you've got someone who can essentially be that stalker / serial killer guy, but when you want to dial it up to the next level, you know, it's great. I saw this film three times at the cinema.
Did you really?
So it was I guess I was maybe like 14, 15. I think it was rated 15 because I don't remember sneaking in, but every sort of Friday, me and like a group of friends would sort of go to the cinema, and after we watched this. We like thought it was like the scariest thing we'd ever seen. It was terrifying, it was amazing. We went to see it like the next 2 weeks on that same Friday night.
Wow. I mean, scary for younger. I remember being the tunnel thing, the tube thing. I remember that being quite scary when I was a kid.
I think, and I stand by this, I think it's got a really, really good first act.
Yeah.
I think it's got a lot going on in the first act. And I don't think it quite reaches those levels for like the rest of the film, but I think there's a lot. Maybe it's because I'm quite nostalgic with it because I saw it a few times at the cinema. I had it on DVD, so I used to watch it occasionally, you know.
Yeah. And you're obsessed with this. It's going to come out that this is your favorite film.
It's going to come out. Man, Heritage's favourite film is Jeepers Creepers. Did you know that a bloody paedophile directed this film? And I'll go, what? Taking down all my posters off my wall and art books and throwing everything away. Is there a director's commentary? Is there a director's commentary to listen to? Do you want to listen to that? obviously, it's been quite a few years since I've seen it, and I think watching it again, it did make me think. I do like this film. I do like the ideas it puts across, but as I said, I think the first act is great, but it kind of just fizzles out, and I think everything that made this film kind of interesting, they really sort of overdid it with the next film, the second one. They kind of just went, what if it was the same film, but instead of being like two people, it was like loads of people being stalked by it. And that was pretty much it.
I think the things this film's got going for it is the sort of the American folktale vibe, the whole, I could tell they were trying to go for, what's the story? Every 23rd spring for 23 days. They're trying to get that sort of urban legend thing going on with it. And it does work for it. I think the bits where it sort of falls down for me is the logic of the characters a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And also the weird sort of kung fu moves type stuff. I don't want to see a character like doing a Jet Li car run over the top of the car. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to see Jason Voorhees do
that. Like a villain. Yeah, I know what you mean. So obviously Justin Long is one of the main actors.
He's great in this, by the way. Justin Long is fantastic.
He is really good. Like you genuinely feel everything that he's going through, where he's just like completely like, what the fuck is going on? Like, whereas his sister, you're a bit more like, so I mean, it's a brother and sister, Trish and Darry.
They've got the same eyes as well. They've got the same, like, top of the head is almost identical.
I think it's a classic where it's like, these are like supposed to be college age kids.
Yeah.
But then, Gina Phillips was 31 when this film was made.
Yeah.
And I could kind of tell. I was a bit like, college age?
Justin Long was, I think, almost reaching puberty by the time he recorded this. But he, Justin Long, because this is the sort of transition period, after this he starts to look more like, I think, but it was like Dodgeball, I think, maybe, and then this or something. That feels about right. But there's that transition period here, and he becomes the Justin Long we know today. Although I don't think he's in as much as he used to be. It's a bit of a shame. Jonathan Breck plays the Creeper, who the Creeper is... he's the Jeeper. He's the Creeper from Jeepers Creepers, actually. Patricia Belcher.
Jeeper Creeper, man.
Patricia Belcher, don't recognise her from anything. She plays a magic black lady called Giselle.
She plays one of those... she has visions and dreams, and she's seen everything before, you know. Yeah. All of those bits and bobs.
Bit of a trope there. But it sort of leans into the tropes.
But then again, there are a lot of... There are a lot of tropes that, are, as you said, are heavily leaned on in this.
Cat lady.
A cat lady. Do you know what I mean? Just like, just loads of stuff, mate. You've listed one thing, but loads of stuff. Like the locals who are a bit like,
a bit dumb.
What are these guys' problems? You know what I mean? Come on, get on with it. Police who are like you can't really rely on them.
How many police are in that station? Dispatched. It's like it's like Poho County Police or something.
Yeah.
There's about 30 of them in that station. Like I think our Nottingham Police Station will only have about 10. I don't know if that's true.
You've been banged up a few times, haven't you, mate? I could see it in your eyes.
But I mean, they've got like
fighting on a night out.
They've got machine guns, I guess. Maybe that's how it is. I don't think it would be, but okay.
It goes a bit apeshit towards the end, you know, and it has got a really sort of downbeat ending.
Well, the ending kind of feels a little bit sudden.
Yeah, also, it almost feels like it feels like just before what could potentially be the final.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
this final showdown, it just ends, and I guess maybe that was what they were going for, like a shocking.
Yeah, it felt like it was missing a couple of scenes in the end there. But you know, I like that. I like bleak endings myself.
This for me like feels like one of the definitive for me, just because I saw it at a certain age. The definitive like deep. Well, it's not Deep South. Is it like Midwest?
Florida, I think. I read the
Florida, okay. Yeah. So it feels as like a hot, like a road movie, but also a horror. Like for me, when someone says that, like, you know, I do always kind of think back to this. So it does feel like the definitive sort of film. And even like watching other films, like classics, that obviously I would have seen after I'd seen Jeepers Creepers. Things like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and stuff like that. I can see where Jeepers Creepers has kind of borrowed from that, you know.
Yeah.
For this. And I think it gets it right sometimes. But
like
yeah,
I said, I think the first act is pretty good. So
I think the first before we know what the twist is or what the creeper really is, I think this film really does excel. And I think maybe it should have maintained the mystery a little bit longer. Perhaps
I don't think
even
it
like
should have been a demon. I don't think it should have. I mean, I don't know. Maybe wouldn't have been as successful as it was if it wasn't. If it was a straight serial killer thing. I don't know.
I think it does well to sort of stand on its own 2 feet away from serial killer films by having this sort of twist. But also, obviously, there's quite not only is it like a creature, but there it's got quite a definitive hairstyle. Sort of hairstyle and like a goal. Do you know what I mean? It likes taking things that on somebody's body that it likes the smell of or something that it thinks are going to be better for it. And it eats things, but then it like recreates. So it eats someone's eyes. He gets those eyes. Eats so
the,
their tongue. He
the
gets
way,
that
the
tongue.
Way Giselle explains it. So if he needs to see, he'll eat eyes so he can see. If he needs to breathe, he'll eat lungs so he can breathe. And I was like, what if he needs to go for a piss? He needs to eat some dick.
And that's the first thing you thought of, is it? That is why you're so sick and twisted.
What if he needs the toilet and he's like, I haven't got an ass. I just haven't,
well, got,
an
haven't got any ass cheeks.
I'm going to have to eat a big.
Yeah. That, well, see, I was like, oh, it's creepy. He's eating eyes and eating lungs. And you were going, what if he wants to eat someone's ass? <That's laughs> you know exactly what you should do there? Grow up. You should grow up.
Yeah. Were you not thinking though, of stuff when you were 15 in the cinema?
I don't remember. Probably. I can't remember who was there. If there's a young lady there, I might be like, oh, you fucking do. I'll tell you the true villain of this film is, though. The gear stick.
Yeah.
Fucking gear stick, man. I was sick of it. I was sick of the sound of it, sick of the sight of it.
I hate it when you grind into a gear like that. And you get stuck in reverse. I was like, yeah, I have a that sounds like a clutch issue. I've had a clutch issue recently, yeah.
Okay. So
we start.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This fantastic act one. Now we start with Trish and Darry. Darry? Is that right?
Yeah, apparently Darry. But his name's Darry, but I think they say it like Derry.
Right, okay.
Oh my God, Darry. Don't go down that hole.
Not like dairy and non-dairy. Like ice cream. Like okay.
Dairy and non-dairy. Darry.
So, I got it. So Trish and Darry are driving home from college, spring break, We get some interaction. They're quite, they kind of love each other, kind of play games. They
rinse each other about having dirty laundry.
Yep.
Because he's like, I'm taking my laundry back to mum because, you know, otherwise she'll get upset because she thinks she don't have to look after me anymore. So she wants dirty laundry.
Yeah. So we just get a sort of nice little introduction to them. As they're driving, they are sort of a crazy guy in a truck flies up behind them, starts trying to get around him. Justin Long looks that, does that kind of expression where he looks like he's melting a lot.
Go around me.
Yeah, his kind of face is always kind of moist, as if he's like, not set yet.
I would be fuming in that situation. Like, I don't care how scary the truck is. I'd be fuming in that situation. I'd be like, are you fucking thick? Are you blind?
Yeah.
Get away.
That truck is fast, so that truck is a powerful little beast.
This truck has been like,
Is this guy souped up?
He souped it up somehow. So even though he's like a supernatural creature,
he only comes out every 23 years.
He goes to his local mechanic and he says, "I got this bloody truck. Can you make it to go right fast?"
Yeah.
And they've got like, they were playing a game before where they were like trying to make words out of the number plates.
Yeah.
So, and obviously the number plate on this big scary truck that almost, you know, drives them off the road is beating you.
Why is it beating you? Why would he have that?
Oh, wait, it gets confirmed later. Did you watch all right. The film?
Yeah, but I thought he said being you.
It says beating you. So is it? I always thought beating you because the truck is so fast.
Yeah.
If you're behind it, it's beating you. It's like, see you later. But it's not beating you. We find that out later.
Okay. Go on.
The vehicle like passes them. And obviously they're all like, oh, thank God for that. But later on, as they're driving past like an abandoned church, they see... I always find this bit pretty creepy because they see like this guy with these what looks like bodies. There's a tall guy in a long coat and a hat. He looks like the Undertaker.
Yeah.
And he's chucking like blood-stained bodies wrapped in sheets down this big chute or a big tube coming out of the ground. And of course, as soon as they're driving past, he notices them. And he immediately gets in his truck and goes after him again. I always thought that was pretty scary. The fact that, you know, they see it. And then he sees them. It's always a bit like, whoa.
Yeah.
Again, the man...
He runs him off the road, right?
He basically runs him off the road, yeah. So he gets right behind him. He's smashing into him this time. Smashing into him. So he's clearly a psychopath. Yeah. And even Trish at one point screams something like, you're fucking crazy!
Yeah.
Yeah, calm down, love.
Does he not want to eat them? Like, why doesn't he just jump out? We know he's like a superhero.
Well,
sort of powers he can.
I don't think so. At the moment, I don't think he knows he wants to eat them because he hasn't got close enough to realize that they've got some bits he wants to eat.
Yeah.
So at this point, first of all, I think he generally wanted them to get out of the way because he's obviously a bit nuts.
Yeah.
He's not all there. He's a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic. And this time, obviously, I guess he's trying to scare them away. The fact that they've seen that.
Yeah.
And then first bad decision. Of the film, first of many, is the fact that they want to go back to the church to investigate this tube.
I can kind of understand that, but it's when he starts climbing inside that I'm like,
yeah. So he climbs inside the tube, inside the pipe. Trish is just like, come on, let's get out of here. And then there's an annoying bit where he's like, hold me by the feet, as if like being dangled an extra 3 feet into the tube is gonna suddenly it's gonna light up and you're gonna see everything that's down there. So he thinks he can hear something, and then some rats sort of start.
That's a good impression.
And he shits himself, yeah.
He shits himself. That lubricated slide. He slides down. There's a weird shot where you sort of see Justin Long in slow motion fall onto his back. And it looks like he's actually like landing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do
that.
That's
a good... I like that shot. That's a good shot. So he's like... There's like the light of the... Obviously the tube, and he's sort of falling... Yeah. Onto his back. So he ends up in the basically a basement of pure agony and pain. Finds a guy down there who's wrapped in the sheet, and he grabs him, and then he reveals he's been stitched up.
wonder why all the way down there. Why would he? Why, that's another logic thing. I was like,
maybe the creeper has taken something. He stitched him up because he wants to keep him alive until he can take something else he wants.
Maybe. It doesn't sound like the creeper. But also, this
I know the creeper really well, all right? Me and the creeper, we're like that. And that doesn't sound like somebody would do.
But this is another logic thing. So he says to his sister, go wait by the road. And then if you see him, tell me and then run away. But if you see a car, flag the car down. And I'm like, she's just hovering around by that road. And she's not even looking at the road most of the time.
And I just feel like... that way. And at one point, the car drives past. Yay!
But by the time, like, the car is on the road, like, on the horizon, he's seen them already. Like, he knows that they're there.
And running down and telling him, he's coming back! You're going to be like, well, what the fuck am I going to do down here?
Yeah.
I'm dead then, am I?
I mean, it'd be better if she just drove off, like, hidden around a corner somewhere or something. And then if he did come back, Justin Long could at least... He wouldn't know Justin Long's there. So Justin Long in my basement.
Justin Long, I'm a bloody massive fan. But, okay, I loved you in... Well, you wouldn't have been in anything at this point. I loved you in some films you're going to be in.
Dodgeball. Yeah. So he's looking around the basement. He sees... So what's the story behind the creeper? Every 23rd spring. Is that what it is?
So like every 23rd spring, he awakes for 23 days to feast on human body parts, which then form some parts of his own. Okay. So yeah, there are the bodies on the wall and on the ceiling, just like loads of bodies. And obviously they've been, what word am I thinking of? They've
petrified,
been
petrified, I think he says.
Petrified, like petrified wood, because he feels it. Because they're telling like a sort of scary story earlier about this girl who went missing. Is that right?
They said two people from prom or something went.
Yeah, two people from prom went missing. And he sees them, even though it's supposed to be like 23 years ago. He sees them.
Yeah, 23. He wasn't, like, probably wasn't alive.
Stitched together on the wall.
Yeah.
And he recognizes, I think, he doesn't recognize them, but I think he just knows it's them for the ring or something. One of them's got a ring.
Yeah.
I recognize that ring. I recognize it anyway.
There's like bodies all over the ceilings and stuff. And it's heavy
going. Again, I thought that was pretty cool. Like, as I said, at that age, when I watched that at the cinema, I'd never seen anything like that before. And I was a bit like, are you scared? No.
So then, I guess he comes back.
The creeper comes back. Yeah. The creeper doesn't come back. Basically, what happens is someone comes back and Trish like panics, but then it ends up being nobody, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then he manages to get out and he does the classic. To get her attention, I'm just going to come up to the window and go, burr!
Yeah, he looks pretty shell-shocked as well. Bless him. So then he's like, but I don't think he tells her what he saw yet, or he doesn't. I don't think he gives us too much detail, but he's like, let's go.
Yeah, he's pretty shook up at this point. So they go to a diner where they're going to contact the police, but for some reason they... You know, when they walk into the police, they go, get the police on the phone. And instead of like explaining, you know, there's been a murder, we found a dead body or anything like that, they're kind of like, just get the police on the phone. And the locals are a bit like, what are these out of town idiots doing here mucking about with a bloody creeper? And obviously the phone rings and Justin answers. And there's a woman playing the song Jeepers Creepers over the, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
She's like, and she seems to know things.
Yeah.
She seems to know things that have happened, and how she would know, nobody knows. But basically warns them they're in danger.
Why? So does that song play because Jeepers Creeper? I mean, the creeper is around, or is that like is that a thing she's dreamt that when he
yeah. Around when... So basically, she's dreamt that song's playing while something bad happens to them. So I think that's the first instance of that song being connected to the creeper. As such. So she's obviously dreamt that something bad happens to them. Also, something bad happens when there's cats around. So she's obviously had some sort of vision where she sees these guys in peril and she's seen that something bad's going to happen to them while these things are happening. She's just trying to warn them. To which Derry, I'm going to call him Derry because that makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
He gets really angry with her on the phone. Well, fuck you, lady! There's a funny bit where he forgets the phone's on a cord. do you remember this?
No.
He forgets the phone's on a cord. So he kind of goes, she says something like, you're wearing a yellow shirt and it's torn just above the belly button or something. And he like forgets the phones on a cord and goes to like walk around the corner and goes, boom. That always made me laugh because I thought, you idiot, Justin Long. So basically the police arrive, they explain what happened, but obviously the police are a bit disbelieving.
Why are they so disbelieving there? Like, it's
because they're young kids, you know.
But if even if I saw a guy was all cut up and he was like, there's a basement full of bodies, I'd be well, we should probably take it quite a little bit seriously.
Yeah,
I'm just like looking at him, like side eyeing him constantly.
Classic idiot.
Yeah.
So basically, they say about the police are going to take them back to the church to basically see what happens. But as they're traveling, the police learn. I'm not sure if someone comes in through the radio, but that the church has basically caught fire, and that the evidence is being destroyed by that sneaky creeper. We see the creeper in action for the first time. So while they're arguing, Trish and Derry. It's quite good. I quite like this shot. I thought this shot was always quite genuinely creepy and a bit iconic.
Through the back window of the car.
We see through the back window and the creeper is basically standing up on the cop car. And obviously it chops off one of the guy's heads and then goes for the other one, right?
It just whips out the window.
The window.
Yeah. Like a chud.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Then what happens?
Well, so so they're driving, and he's like, "Oh, you fancy that policeman?" And she goes, "No, I don't." And then his head lands on the bonnet.
That's it. They stop, and then they see the creeper pick up the severed head and like suck the tongue or grab the tongue and like bite the tongue and basically make out with a severed head.
Yeah, whistles and stuff. I don't know. He's like whistling the song to Jeepers Creepers. It's a bizarre character trait, really. He's obsessed with that song, Jeepers Creepers, given that what he ends up doing.
He's heard it before. He's heard it and he's gone, that's me.
That's my theme tune.
That's my theme tune. I write the theme tune, sing the theme tune. That's my theme tune.
It's weird that he manages to calculate exactly when that. Maybe put the request in on the radio. Can you play Jeepers Creepers in about 10 minutes, please?
Can you play Jeepers Creepers and make up doing a murder in about 10 minutes?
He times it all. It's a strange. It seems very peculiar to me for that to be a. Such a major part of the story. They don't run him over. They run away in a car.
Yeah. So they drive up. They drive away, but they run away in a car. Flintstones. Yeah. You get their legs at the bottom. The creeper puts all the bodies in his van. You know, obviously he loves collecting bodies, especially now since he's burnt his church down. He needs to start his collection again. So then Trish and Derry stop at a house to basically call the police. Like, that's going to do any good, isn't it? What should we do now that our police escort have been killed? Just call the police again.
Yeah.
As if they've got never-ending supply of coppers to send out to them to give them a police escort. And the woman complies, but obviously then there are cats everywhere, and that's when Trish is like, that woman said there's going to be cats, and that's going to be bad juju if there's cats.
She's kind of creepy, isn't she, the old woman. And she's got, like, an explosive rounds in a shotgun. She shoots at the creeper, and it's like a massive explosion. I don't know if she dies, because we don't actually see her die. I'd like to see her come back in the sequel as sort of a vengeance film.
So apparently Trish isn't in the sequel, but she is in the third film, like, has got like a bit part, I think. I've not seen the third one, though. To be fair, I think Gina Phillips didn't really have much of a career afterwards.
I looked through TV and stuff. I think obviously Justin Long was in that Kevin Smith film when he turns into a walrus.
Yeah,
played the career highlight for him,
which is a great film.
I don't know what else has he been. He's been in lots of rom coms. I think at one point,
rom coms. Obviously, Dodgeball. Long.
He's a stand up comedian, right? Is that what he does? Or
possibly. So it looks like he's got a podcast called Life is Short. Here we go. He went out with Drew Barrymore.
There you go. There you go. Career. That's the highlight of his
career. Good career. And he was also he was in Live Free or Die Hard as well.
Oh yeah.
With Kevin Smith. He's like the hacker dude, right?
Is Kevin Smith in that?
Kevin Smith has got a part in that, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that. Repress that one.
yeah, he's been. Mainly just like sort of mid-level sort of American comedy films and stuff.
Yeah,
with some voices. So,
he's a good guy. I've got time for Justin Long. I can.
He's a great bloke, isn't he?
Yeah, and I know him personally. Yeah, he's fantastic. he says hello. But anyway, so the cat lady, she shoots her explosive shotgun rounds at the Jeeper, at the Creeper.
But, yeah, so the Jeeper Creeper is pretending to be a scarecrow initially, isn't he? And they're like, we're not falling for that, because that's obviously the Creeper.
He doesn't even hide it very well. He's just there like smiling.
but then the driver, the Creeper, kills her, like goes into her house and like and brings her out onto the porch, like, and
so she's like holding her like by the scruff of her neck like a cat.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's the first time we see
bad lady.
The Creeper's it's the first time we see the Creeper's face, because it steps into the light.
I do quite like one thing I do like about this film is that it does kind of reveal a little bit more of the every time we see the Creeper. Reveal a little bit more. So this time we see that he's got. Last time we saw it, he's got like weird hair. This time we see that he's got a weird face.
Look at the state of his hair. He looks like he's got Jimmy Savile hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's at least four paedophiles we've mentioned on this podcast so far. I mean, mainly me. Sorry, it's like, you know, when you're like, don't mention this, don't mention this, and then you just can't help but mention it. That's what I feel like I'm doing right now. So how would you describe his face?
Kind of like what's that fruit? Avocado. It's like an avocado skin. It's like an avocado with a mouth and big eyes.
So he's got like some weird folds and sharp teeth and scary eyes. You know, I mean, he's pretty. Lizard-y looks pretty good.
Yeah,
looks pretty good at this point. But obviously, as more is revealed, I think he looks better.
Yeah.
So yeah, they basically try escaping the car with the bloody gear sticks having a mare again.
Yeah.
And then they run over the Creeper. First of all, it like does a backflip over the car. Second off, it like runs over the car.
I can't be handling that bit when he's running over the car, and they just keep going backwards and forwards. And he just keeps
so they run him over. They run him over backwards and forwards. They do hit him eventually, don't they?
Yeah.
But when its body is like on the floor, and they're like, right, it's got to be dead, right? He's got to be dead, whatever he is. And then a big leathery wing comes out. So then already, like, even though we've just seen its face, already there's a new element to this creature, which is the fact it's got a big old leathery wing.
Yeah. So we also see like they basically destroyed his arm and they destroyed his leg. He's got like tire tracks on him, and it's like really dusty. Everything about him is very dusty for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know if
he's been doing the he was sorting his church out before. He was doing a bit of DIY.
Yeah.
Sanding down the walls.
Yeah.
Sanding down all the up or everything. Just making his church look good. Now he's burnt it down. He's fuming.
Yeah. So they run away in the car again, and they make it to the police station this time.
Yeah. And now this is like, it almost feels like a different film, this part. So it's like a siege part, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like a siege where the Creepers come into the police station after them. But then the woman's there. So Giselle, the woman who obviously has had the visions, and she's there to kind of like fill in all the blanks. I mean, she's there for exposition, really, isn't she, to explain what the Creeper is, that it feeds on human body parts and every 23rd spring for 23 days, and it seeks out victims through fear. I mean, it is Pennywise, right? And by smelling the fear from Trish and Derry, it finds something it likes, but it doesn't know what yet.
It's quite Pennywise, yeah. And one of them's called Derry. Like their town.
And it's 23 years instead of 27 years. Feeding, fear. It's a bloody rip-off, really, isn't it? Get your own ideas. Get your own ideas.
Get your own back. Remember that TV show? Where the kids got their own back against the dads. Yeah. Dave Benson Phillips, yeah. There's the whole thing here. The Jeeper, the Creeper, he sort of attacks some prisoners. He's like, he has a thing where he could just sort of put his mouth against something and then he can like eat out the heart or eat out the lung. Yeah. There's one bit where he eats the prison, a policeman guard's yeah. chest, and he's got like a hole in his chest or something.
Yeah, he's got a very suctiony mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Where else is
he? I'm gonna suction you so hard.
But he can eat, he does it so fast, like unnaturally fast. Like I think he's upside down at one point, suctions this guy's lung out, and then
his mouth's like a plunger.
And then the policemen are shooting the shit out of him, but just not doing anything. He's a super villain. He's not like a normal bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. And then eventually, obviously, he manages to. He jumps through like some single. What's that glass called?
We can only see one.
One way glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, he jumps through that and he manages to get Trish.
He wouldn't be able to jump through the other way.
No. He wouldn't know where he's going, where he's going to come out.
Yeah.
Whoa, where am I? Could be anywhere. So he manages to corner Trish and Derry. And there's a bit where obviously he's like sniffing them, tasting them, licking them. Oh, I want one of you, but I can't decide which.
Yeah.
Just take both.
Yeah.
Just take both, you twat. You can't decide. And then obviously Trish is like, don't take me instead. Take me. Something stupid like that.
How does he answer?
Don't be a hero.
His whole face explodes. Like,
yeah. So his face is basically like that poisonous dinosaur from Jurassic Park, the one that gets Dennis Nedry, the Dilophosaurus.
And then it's quite good. Is that what it is?
Yeah. His face comes out all frilly like that. It looks scary. I think when the frilly face comes out, like there's some weird stuff going on with the mouth.
Because his eyes go a bit milky. And there's the screams, like the horror scream. It sounds like he's stubbed his toe really bad. But it's he looks less and less human throughout the process. But that's the point where it's like, oh, he's actually a full-on demon thing.
Yeah, so his wings come out. And even though there's like a SWAT team there ready to pop a cap in his ass, he manages to just fly off into the night.
Well, he's eaten so many asses, so he could pop caps into his ass all night long, and he's got plenty left.
He loves eating the booty, so he'll do it till the night. Here's another good shot, which I think happens in this film. Happens now at the end, but it's happened more than once as well. Is where somebody looks up into the night sky, nothing in particular, and there's a really good shot of like panning away.
Yeah,
it's not a pan, is it? What am I thinking of?
Coming
away, like the shot at the end of Grease.
Crane.
A little lift. Yeah. And I think that is good. And it's a good sort of like, it's not a final shot here, but it's.
It's always used as a final shot, isn't it? But not in this film. It's like suggesting that there's something high up looking at them.
So the creeper flies off. I think the soundtrack's really good here as well. Like the genuinely, the really creepy sort of, like wherever it's kind of, all the music's been really action packed and swelling to like. Oh my God, what's going to happen? And there's a really sort of somber, you fucked it. The creeper's only gone and won, which is essentially what happens. The creeper wins.
I feel like there should have been some more here, but there isn't. It's just like
that. I feel like there should have been, she goes after the creeper, maybe with some police, maybe with Giselle. No, Giselle's dead?
She closes her eyes.
Maybe there was a final showdown, but it doesn't happen. We don't get it. Trish basically gets picked up by her parents. I don't know what she's going to say. Where the hell is... Where's Derry? Bloody creeper took him off, didn't he? Bloody twat.
Trish has come non-Derry. <She's>,
So we see the creeper's new hideout. Jeepers Creepers is playing his theme tune, wrote the theme tune, sing the theme tune.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like an abandoned factory or something. And the creeper's removed Derry's eyes. Why is it... He's like he's gone all the way through the back of his skull.
Is he taking? Skinned him? Is that? He looks kind of a flat.
He looks a bit flat and a bit weird. Like he's probably done this petrified thing. Put him in. He's pickled him. Put him in a pickled egg jar.
Yeah.
And basically the final shot is zooming right in on Justin Long's hole in his eyes, and then the creeper
winks.
Pops his head in with a new eye with Justin's eyes and goes, "Can he wink?" And that's it.
Yeah.
And then does it end with like a early 2000s new metal song, or did I imagine that?
I don't think I remember.
No. I don't think it does. I think I was thinking of something else.
Yeah,
but
it'd be surprising. It wouldn't be surprising if it did. But I don't think this one does.
Creeper bloody wins. The creeper wins.
Yeah. Well, okay, so...
Does the sequel take place 23 years later, or does it just take place during the same cycle?
4 days later. Takes place 4 days
real?
Later. Yeah. I read it.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'd be hanging if I was a creeper. I'd be knackered. I'd be like, fighting on the police.
Yeah, but you just sort kids. Of you eat something and you're back to full health, I guess. Oh. It's like a video game thing. Yeah. Okay, so some trivia for you. You ready?
Please.
What was... Yep. I imagine you're... Because you're the expert on Jeepers Creepers. We've now established. Favourite movie? This is your Citizen Kane. What was the original title of the film? Was it A, Here Comes the Boogeyman, B, The Boogeyman, or C, Spring-Heeled Jack?
Oh. I quite like the sound of Spring-Heeled Jack, so yeah. even if I think it's wrong or not, I'm going to say that.
Wrong, I'm afraid. It's Here Comes the Boogeyman. Yeah.
Where did you get Spring-Heeled Jack from?
I think I read that they would kind of base the character off of Spring-Heeled Jack. That makes sense.
That sounds quite good, though. I like that.
Okay, number two. How old is Justin Long, the actor, in this movie? Is he A, 25? Is he B, 23? Or is he C, 10?
twenty-three.
Correct. He is in fact 10 years old, 23 years old. Which of these isn't a tagline used in the promotion for this movie? A, what's eating you? B, things are gonna get creepy, or C, evil is in the eyes of the beholder. Which one did they not use in the promotional?
Things are going to get creepy.
No, they used that one. Evil is in the eyes of the beholder.
I forgot to say, the beating you thing, we later find out, and I think maybe Giselle says it something, but that it means eating you.
Okay, so that's another thing.
Be eating you. I'll be eating you.
This is a strange... killer guy who says, I'm going to get my own theme tune. I'm going to get a special license plate. I'm going to get a special coat.
I'm going to get a souped up bloody thing. Nice. I'll be watching a lot of WWF, and I reckon Undertaker's top bloke, and I'm going to get his costume.
Actually, that sounds quite interesting. I'd like to see that scene where he's thinking about his act, his gimmick.
Yeah, well, and he's ringing up a company going, hello, how much to get number plate with be eating you on it? Sorry? How much to get number plate? Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like you've got lovely lips. I'll be around in a minute. He eats the bloody lips off.
Number four. Finish the song lyrics. Okay. Oh, jeepers, creepers. Where'd you get those?
Peepers.
Jeepers, creepers. Where'd you
get those eyes?
Oh, gosh, you're get up. How'd they get so?
Wait, what? Oh, gosh, oh. Get up. Where'd you get so?
No. Oh, gosh. Pretty good eyes. How'd they get so?
Bright?
Lit up. Gosh, oh, get up. How'd they get that?
Shine.
Size.
Ah!
That's quite good, though. You did quite well. Yeah. That's it. I didn't have a question five.
What a great theme tune.
Yeah. I didn't recognise that bit when I read it. Oh, gosh, your get up, how'd they get so lit up? But I had to listen to it, and it is there. We just never get past that first verse.
Yeah. I think you get the whole song at the end, right?
Yeah, yeah. Need to rate the film. I think I know what I'm going to go in for. It's probably not going to be as high as your A+ that you're chiming
in. I was going to go for A+, but based on the history of the director, I think I have to drop it right there. Okay, so obviously not taking that into account at all, based on the fact that, you know, I like this film growing up, and I think it's got a really good first act, and I think the rest of the film does kind of fizzle out, but I think it's all right. It's fairly unique, I think, in the way it deals with things, and I think you can tell it's trying to set it up as a franchise.
It's a serviceable horror.
Yeah, so I think I'd be willing to go as high or as low as... A B-.
Oof.
That's pretty
Jesus
high,
Christ.
Isn't it?
Freudian slip there. Minors.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jeepers creepers. Where'd you get those?
I don't hold it in as quite as high regard as Ben. I'm going to go for C-. I think it's, you know what, talking about it has made me appreciate it a little bit more. Like the sort of the slow reveal of the increasing weirdness of the creature. But there's just things that I just think, I just can't get on board with the fact that he called up a license plate company. He went online.
You've got a license plate. You've got to suspend. And going online in 2001 with dial-up, yeah, is bloody absolute nightmare.
Did he have internet in that? I mean, where did he get that license plate from? Jeepers, creepers, where did he get that license plate from?
I reckon he's got that van and it had that license plate.
Maybe
just
he ate someone with that van.
Yeah.
And then that's how he got the van.
And he went, what's this license plate? Be he eating ate, you? What a coincidence.
He ate someone who had a cracking broadband download speed.
Yeah. Oh, bloody hell, 65 megabytes. So I don't even know what is a good broadband speed.
65 quid.
Ooh. 65 quid a month from Virgin Media. Other broadband providers.
I always say that guy's direct debit. Yeah.
What did you eat then? Oh, yeah, it's criminal record. Oh, fuck. Oh no.
Oh, full.
I'm full up. What did you eat then? I ate his dairy intolerance. I ate his wheat intolerance. Fuck, I love wheat.
Yeah, well. So there's stuff like that, and the theme tune. I can understand that you can use a tune like that to sort of makes the film catchy in someone's mind. They'll be like, "Jeepers, creepers, horror film." But like, I think logically,
horror film. Jeepers, creepers. You know, it's a load of kids. God, sorry.
But I can't. There's only one. I can't. Like the logic of it is so bizarre to me. Maybe that's what makes it kind of special, I guess. I don't know.
You have to suspend your disbelief a bit.
Not even a bit, like a lot, I think.
Yeah, it feels very pulpy, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? This film, it does feel pulpy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So I do suspend my disbelief a bit, and I kind of, yeah. It does all right for what it is.
I think if you take it as a sort of a child's gateway, a gateway horror film into... more adult horrors as you're growing up.
Yeah.
Do you want to recommend this to kids?
I mean, it could, with a bit less gore, it could easily be like a Goosebumps episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we've and used that.
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. I think we use that to describe a few films that they feel like a Goosebumps episode.
That's because, well, why are you afraid of the dark, you know, any of those?
Yeah, like all that stuff, the young adult horror stuff. Again, you dial down. It could have been genuinely creepy if you dialed down the gore. Just a tad.
You can't do that ending in a Goosebumps episode. He's ate the eyeballs out of the main character.
The guy's just led there. He's got sunglasses on.
Yeah.
He's just asleep.
Instead of having the whole eating aspect, he would absorb him or something. You wouldn't see the death or the skin, but you'd just see the eyes.
No. Yeah, exactly. He'd just poke his eyes like that.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going with C-. You went with Benjamin Plus.
No, not Plus, mate. Come on.
Benjamin Minus.
Benjamin Minus.
That's like a great band name. Anyway, so this you got anything else? Next week, we're doing Sleepaway Camp.
Yes.
I think Andy's
coming
down to Bristol. So.
Yeah, so I think... Yeah, so me and Andy are going to go and watch a special screening of Sleepaway Camp at the Bristol Improv Theatre, I think, on Thursday night. So we're going to do that for the next episode. And then there's a couple of cinema releases coming up that me and you are going to watch. So for the first time in a while, we've got a plan. We've got like 3 weeks in advance of episodes planned.
Whenever we had a plan before, we generally not stuck to it. I think people kind of get excited. Maybe they watch the film, so they go, oh, they're going to do that next week. So I'll watch that now. And then when we turn up the next week saying, yeah, we watched something else.
And that's the last time they listen. There you go. Fucking waste of time. Yeah. Wasted my life.
Okay. But go watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's
Yeah, definitely. Do it.
Right. So this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. You can buy Horror Hangout t-shirts. I think they're like 15 quid.
Yeah.
We never promote them. We promoted them once, and then we assumed that everyone would
have, yeah. Would have I'll them. Make a habit of that. Promote it once. Do you want it?
But if you want one, they're about 15 quid. And they say Horror Hangout on them. That's all you really need to know. become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Camera for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoy the show, please consider giving us a rating review on iTunes, and remember to hit subscribe, and on YouTube, and on Facebook. Go to facebook.com, Horror Hangout, yep. Board of Advisors, the little group there. And I think that's all I've got. So, oh, thanks to my co-host Ben for me.
Thank you very much, Luke. It's been a pleasure as always.
All right. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.